Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Montana is global. Did you know that? Whether you know that or not, you are global. From wheat and energy, software, technology, we'll be talking about that, manufacturing, Montana has a place on the world stage. But how do you get there, right? If you've got a Montana product and a Montana service and you think this is going to work on the global stage, you might have a lot of questions about that. Well, today, you know, there are a lot of interesting answers to that. We're going to highlight what works best for Big Sky Countries. Broadcast live from the Montana World Trade Center, annual World Trade and Investment Day. Today, we're in Billings at Big Sky Economic Development. We also got a huge conference going on at the Northern Hotel today. So that's it today on Voices of Montana. It is trade, and you're going to enjoy it. Stand by. Got a lot to learn today, a lot to talk about, imports, exports. It's all a part of our Montana economy. It's a part of entrepreneurship. And it's a part of, creating relationships. Let me tell you, a bit later on, Consul General Sylvain Fabi is going to join us. And then we're going to talk with Joshua and Owen from Supply Chain Shark. They're based here in right here, as a matter of fact, Rock 31, where we are, 201 North Broadway in Billings, Montana. And then Jim Hader is standing by, the Montana Exporter of the Year. Guess who's co-hosting with me? It is Brigitta Miranda Freer from the Montana World Trade Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
How are you?
I'm great.
You have been running around like crazy. I'm looking at this panel, all these guests that are here. This is going to be a super informative seminar. Thank you for putting it together. Are you okay?
Am I okay? Well, to be determined at the end of the day, Tom. But yeah, we work really hard on putting together panels that will add value for all of our participants and our speakers. So yeah, thanks. Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, right. Good job. Yeah. We've been chatting with James Hader here, Jim Hader. He is actually the Exporter of the Year. And his industry, his business is GTUIT, which stands for Gas Treatment Using Intelligent Technology. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Congratulations to you, Exporter of the Year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we're excited. As we were talking earlier, I didn't do that much. Most of the folks at our company did all the heavy lifting, but yeah, I'm happy to take the award.
Brigitta, why, Jim, you're going to tell us about your business,
yeah.
Okay? And then I want you to ask or tell us, please, why is he the Exporter of the Year?
Well, he and his company, G2IT, if you want to pronounce that acronym.
I like it. G2IT, right?
Yeah, G2IT.
Like, get to it. Just do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there are a number of different criteria that the Montana District Export Council considers when they decide what company should be the Exporter of the Year. They look at the volume of exports, how long they've been doing it, are they diversifying into other export markets, what their impact is on the local economy, on Montana's economy. So a lot of different considerations. It was tough competition, mm-hmm. but G2IT did a great job. And Jim, somebody there must be working if it wasn't
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, we've got a ton of great people that do, like I say, they do all the heavy lifting. So, we're very proud to win the award, and we're very bullish on our export side of our business, actually. So yeah.
Let's talk about your business, because as we've been chatting here before we got on the air, it sounds fascinating to me, and it's exactly, I think, what your title says. You are using gas treatment intelligently.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. We, a little bit of history on G2IT. We started in the Williston Basin in the Bakken oil field in 2012, and we really built our company around flare capture, essentially, and building equipment that could take natural gas that was being wasted and make it useful on site so that it didn't have to be wasted. Fast forward to 2025, and we've essentially taken that technology that we developed here in Montana and in North Dakota, and we've made it a global product. And now we can actually offer that same equipment and technology all over the world. And we have equipment in South America. We have equipment in Egypt. We have equipment in West Africa. We have a project that we're doing. We have several West African projects. We have some more South American work coming. So it's, again, we're very bullish about what our equipment can do for essentially either communities, oil producers, or refineries, or those sorts of things in the global market.
How did you examine this market? First, I think it's the idea about this gas was, you saw the flare, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what it is.
And you were thinking, well, how, can we do this better? That was the genesis of the idea, correct?
That's how we started. Yeah, that's how we started in North Dakota. I mean, if anybody can remember way back when to 2011, 2012, you know, the Bakken was an amazing thing that was opening up, but the flares were kind of a national black eye. I mean, it was just, there was a lot of flared gas. There was a lot of reason that it was being flared. Now, all of that's, you know, a lot of that's been, you know, taken care of and managed very well. And in the United States, we are very good about keeping that flaring to a very minimum. But there's always those challenged locations and those challenges that producers and landowners have that make a flare a thing. And then that's when our equipment, you know, that's when our company can step in and provide a solution to that that wouldn't otherwise be there. So
I just love that you've addressed this problem in a manner that is not only helpful for the planet, but also provides a revenue stream to those companies. Like, that's the key.
That's it.
That's what's missing on so many other fronts as we try to address these challenges. So,
yeah,
good
I appreciate
job.
That. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's our tagline, sustainability that pays. That's really what we put on all of our marketing material, because that's what it is. It's a valuable thing that's being wasted. So our goal is to make it profitable and valuable again, so that it can be used or marketed or whatever the disposition can be. There's a lot of different things that we can do with our core technology, and it's fun to actually solve those challenges differently all over the world and all over the United States. So
go into that more, because I can't imagine it being an easy process. You're taking that gas. You had to clean the gas up as well to make it commercially viable.
Yeah, that's really what we're doing. We build small distributed gas plants, if you will. A lot of folks are familiar with the gas plant that they might see driving down the highway that takes natural gas and makes propane and butane and natural gas and all of the things that come out of a raw gas stream. They see the big plant. Ours is just a very small version of that, either on a skid or on a trailer that we can put at a very specific location and take a very specific stream of stranded gas or wasted gas and make it useful right there. Pull out the liquids like the propane and the butane and send that to market. Make the gas available now. Now that you've cleaned it up, we can make electric power or all sorts of different power applications with the remaining gas stream, and we do a lot of that. So, yeah, it's fun, and it's, for me as an engineer, even though I'm the chief technology officer, I don't do as much engineering as I used to do. As an engineer, it's fun to be able to go and solve different problems like that. They're all unique in their own way, so it's fun that way. So,
you've got offices in Billings, the Bakken, Midland, Texas, Dubai as well. And now you're South Africa, I think you were talking about.
Yes, not South Africa, but West Africa.
West Africa.
West Africa is a big market for us. We manage that out of our Dubai office.
Okay.
The office that we have in Dubai really deals with most of our international sales, except for South America because it's so close over here. Time zones are a challenge, right? When you're trying to work with customers, so having him in that, you know, sort of that side of the world makes it easier for people to get a hold of him over there. That's where most of that stuff's managed.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, so you're making the product here, you're exporting it probably in containerized, and then what work do you do after that in Montana, and then how do you train your customers overseas to maybe maintain the systems? I just want to understand the product life cycle a little bit more.
Well, the core of our company really is the people that are here in Billings. So all of our technical resources, all of our engineering staff are really centered here in Montana. So our equipment is, it can go anywhere in the world, but we offer kind of a complete service package with that equipment as it goes out. The one thing about gas treatment equipment is it's kind of a unique bird. There's not a lot of folks in the oil industry, especially, that knows how to manage it, knows how to maintain it, knows how to take care of it. So our service business, the service side of our business, plus our engineers here in the United States, are really the core to that. We can then offer them as a service. We can remotely monitor that equipment. We can manage spares. We can help train them how to run it. We can help them do troubleshooting. We can actually send people out from Billings or from Texas to go do repairs and things like that might occur. So it's actually, once we install a piece of equipment, that's really just the first step. We're engaged with that customer pretty much for the life of the equipment. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to surface this one thing that we'll talk about more later, too. Not only are you exporting this hard good, you are exporting a service.
Absolutely.
And that's also really important to Montana's trade statistics and our engagement with global markets. It's not
Absolutely.
Easy to track, but yeah, it's important.
And that's really the part that we focus on a lot because, as I mentioned, we started in the Williston Basin. We have a fleet of our own equipment that we own and operate for producers. And from that, we have a core of technical people that really know how to run that equipment reliably. And again, gas treatment equipment in the oil field is unique. Oil producers don't necessarily have that expertise in-house. So our service and our ability to export that out and provide, and again, essentially drive business off of that equipment for its lifetime is hugely important to our company. So,
Jim Hayter again with us. It's GTUIT, G-T-U-I-T, and GTUIT.com for more information. Professional engineer, but chief technology officer for this Montana Exporter of the Year. What were some of the challenges? What was the roadblock, if there was one or two, that you had to get over to recognize that this is viable across the globe?
Yeah, so the technical challenges were mostly around standards. It's a really boring subject, but we have a certain standard of building equipment for the oil field in the United States. Other countries have different standards. So understanding that and adapting our equipment to comply with other countries is always a thing. But just the actual act of getting it there and developing the contracts and things like that. So we've really relied heavily on like U.S. Commercial Services here in town, the Montana Department of Commerce. They really help a lot here. We've taken great advantage from that because they have resources that we just don't have in-house to help us. For example, probably one of the biggest advantages or one of the biggest things that we had to get for this one was the right kind of freight forwarder to get that equipment from Billings to Houston to Angola and then into the actual refinery site that we're installing it. Without the help of like Montana Department of Commerce and U.S. Commercial Services, that would have been kind of a trick for us. We got the right people in that. They were super helpful. And, so big plug for them for sure.
You know, you mentioned, even though it's boring, you know, the different building codes and how we build things here and the regulatory issues. One of the panels that we'll have this morning, actually, Jim, is your former employer, Montana Manufacturing Extension Center, and they can talk about that with our guests here today. Like, every country is different, and they can help you figure that out, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So. And we lean on the MMEC a lot. They're a tremendous resource for us. We use them for all sorts of things. I have a connection to them for sure from my past, but they're just a tremendous resource to Montana manufacturers for sure.
What's your advice to people who are looking at exporting or importing or whatever, you know, as a business, something that you have done and it's foundational mm-hmm. to your company. What's your advice to somebody going, you know, hey Jim, we're having a cup of coffee. You do this. How do I do that?
Yeah, you know, I think I'd say just jump right in. The one thing I'll say is it's not as it's challenging and it is very different. But there are resources available, again, through the state of Montana that you can really use to solve, you know, small companies like us in Montana don't have every tab in the Rolodex filled as far as resources go to do these sorts of things.
Right.
But there are great resources here that you can rely on to help you kind of figure that out. And it's, once you get it figured out, you realize that, yeah, that's a great big market out there and we really can do it. I mean, we're, you know, there's nothing stopping us from exporting to really any country at this point, other than the ones we can't export to, of course. But once you figure it out, it becomes a very doable thing. And so I just say, just jump right in and call and ask questions.
I had just one follow-up. First of all, one correction, Jim. I think that most of these conversations start over beer, not coffee.
Oh. Yeah, that's probably true.
Because if you really sat down and looked at all of the potential obstacles, you would freeze and go nowhere.
Yeah.
But then you're right. You start identifying who those partners are that you can draw in to help you in those certain areas. And I know that with Montana World Trade Center, that is a lot of our work, being that kind of on-call assistance for those small and medium-sized businesses in our state that surely don't have dedicated international sales departments when they begin the process.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And like I say, World Trade Center, all of those groups. They're just extremely helpful, and they're available. It's amazing what actually is available when you start looking. So,
right.
And we've definitely taken advantage of that. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we hope to explore more here, too, is all the resources that are available and how you look. Just start, like, I like that. Just, you know, don't figure it all out. Just kind of walk it out, right?
Yeah, just jump in. Jump right in, yeah.
Yeah, Jim, it's been a pleasure. Really, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And I know you've got, I think the governor's going to come by.
Yeah.
You know, you got an award ceremony today.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah,
going to be fun.
We're happy for you, too. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the time and the opportunity.
Thank you for making Montana, too, your center of
absolutely.
Of business.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Appreciate
I was
that.
Born and raised here, so, yeah, that's what I'm here for. Yeah, we all look to, we like seeing Montana companies do well, and we're happy to be part of that. So,
Jim Hayter again. It's G2It, G2It.com for more information. It's World Trade and Investment Day here, the Montana World Trade Center, with a big conference in the Billings area. We are live this morning at Big Sky Economic Development. There's some sessions going on, some technical training for Montana firms engaged in international business here in the Big Sky country. Going to talk with a couple of them here. Brigitta Miranda Freer with us as co-host, and she's the executive director of the Montana World Trade Center. Put this how many years has this been going on, by the way?
About five.
5 years, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just seems like it's there's a lot to talk about, isn't there?
Indeed there is,
Indeed,
Tom.
Indeed there is.
And we've leveled up on that front this year, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, meaning tariffs and indecisions and supply chain issues. Let's welcome our next guest here. It's Owen Hockey, co-founder of Supply Chain Shark, and also Joshua Jackson as well. Good morning, you guys. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom.
Great, good morning.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You guys are actually in Rock 31, too, aren't you?
We are.
You started your business here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty cool. How'd it get started?
Well, about 2 or 3 years ago, both of us rented a desk here at Rock 31. We had two separate consulting businesses. Owen supported clients with international trade, freight forwarding, customs, and I was supporting on the retail, e-com, domestic distribution, warehousing, and inventory. We realized that we kind of had complementary services. So we started sharing clients over time, which then grew into more and more clients. We formed a joint venture about 2 years ago with a retained services program, which then has kind of spiraled into us developing our own SaaS software platform for supply chain.
Yeah, and from there, we work with businesses all over the U.S. A number of them are in Montana, and mostly consumer brands, so companies that are bringing in product from overseas and then selling it in the U.S., and we also work with a number of manufacturers here. They're manufacturing goods, and they're importing components from overseas, so with all the interesting news recently on tariffs. We've been extremely busy trying to help our clients navigate that and understand, what that means for their business, what the impact is, how they can mitigate it, and how they can stay in business, frankly, with all the additional tax that's going on right now that they have to pay. So we've absolutely been busy, Joshua and I. So glad that we linked up a couple years ago. We really could help guide these companies from their manufacturer to their customer through that whole process, and just make sure that they're doing everything as efficiently as possible, because it's really complicated. And I've been working in trade compliance and logistics for over a decade, and I imported myself too, and just it's so complicated, all the things that you need to know to do that and to make it work out. So we try and make that easier for small businesses.
If I may interject, and also just to plug your company, I think you buried the lead, and that is that there are sharks now in Montana, supply chain sharks, to be sure. And I just can't underscore how incredibly important it always is to engage the right professional partners in your international trade endeavors. And certainly, Owen and Josh are part of that mix that we have and that broad support network in Montana, Tom, that we talked about in the last segment. And then particularly, over the last 120 days, we have seen simply an unprecedented level and pace of change on things like implementation of tariffs. And regardless of how you feel about that as a policy piece, you know, we're all navigating that. Montana businesses are navigating that in real time.
Yeah.
So having people that you can call to help you figure out, like when you've got a container on the water coming in with those components you need to make your product, and all of a sudden it just went from X price to, you know, 3X price or more or whatever. You've got to have some people to help you try to figure it out, see if there's any way to mitigate that, and figure out what that long-term strategy should be.
What kind of questions are you dealing with right now? What's a day in the life like for supply chain sharks such as yourself?
Yeah, right now we're getting a lot of questions of companies that have had orders in place, and then they're trying to estimate what their actual duties will be. So what is the tax that they have to pay? And, you know, one example I'm sharing today is one of our clients. The planned amount that they would pay in import in tax on the import duties was $26,000 for this year. And then now with the additional duties, it's over $350,000. And this is a small business. It's actually higher. It's higher than that now, because that was when they calculated it at so basically the tax that they're paying was around 10%, and now it's about 170% of the value of those goods. And they're a small business, and they don't have much cash sitting around to pay that, right? So they have to make a decision, where do they cut costs? And a lot of people are cutting their employees. You know, payroll is one of those that they're making really tough decisions about or they're going out of business. You know, they're like, hey, we can't do this, or they're forfeiting their goods at the border. There's a lot of that going on too, because they bring in, you know, in this example, it was like a $75,000 order of goods, it's, you know, do I pay the import duties, which are, you know, $170,000 more than the goods? You know, it's double what they're actually paying for the goods, and they just don't have that cash sitting around to pay that. And so people are getting bills now, especially a lot of companies that are bringing stuff via air freight, and they get the actual bill from whoever their transportation partner is or their customs broker, and they come to us and they're like, hey, what do I do with this? And a lot of times we say, you know, sorry, you know, you have to pay this.
And that's really tough. Owen Hockey, again, Supply Chain Shark at supplychainshark.com. Joshua Jackson, they're both co-founders. And you guys are doing a little seminar here, actually, in just a few minutes upstairs. Yep. So thanks for being a part of this. I appreciate that, and coming on the radio, too. Import and export best practices. So Joshua, give us a little hint on what those best practices are now, even today, okay? Let's just say for the next hour, okay? You know, because it could change, right?
Sure. Kind of in my wheelhouse is looking for cost-saving opportunities in their overall landed cost. So if their tariffs are going up, we need to figure out ways to cut costs elsewhere, hopefully without laying off employees, which could be looking at their freight forwarding costs to get the product over from overseas, looking at their fulfillment, warehousing, distribution cost here in the U.S. It's a best practice to audit those services and those partnerships annually. It's very common that importers, exporters don't do that. So right now is, you know, the tariff situation is just kind of the push that everyone needed to really look in at what their overall costs are. And that's really what we help do at Supply Chain Shark, is to help them find those opportunities for cost savings outside of the tariffs, because the tariffs are what they are, and you can't really avoid those. Let's figure out how we can cut costs elsewhere to mitigate some of those losses.
And as a corollary to that, you are talking about some export assistance too, right? I mean, working with Shopify to help grow your export sales. That's what we want. We want companies that are globally strong, right? And so I wish I could catch the Shopify training, but I can't.
Darn.
So we're focusing on the export too, just so you know.
I've got a hard break here, and I'm sorry about that. You know, time goes so fast. But I look forward to chatting with you down the road too, okay? Because it sounds to me like you guys have got a finger on the pulse of some things, and it's turning over, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Owen Hockey again, and Joshua Jackson, the Supply Chain Shark. BigSkyEconomicDevelopment.com. We are live at Big Sky Economic Development here in Billings, Montana. It's one of the sites for World Trade and Investment Day put on by the Montana World Trade Center. We have Executive Director Brigitte Miranda Freer with us here as well, co-hosting. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I hope you're having fun. I'm having fun.
So far, so good.
And I bet it's going to be even more fun as we introduce our next guest here, Consulate General of Canada for our region, Sylvain Fabi.
Good morning.
It's good to meet you. And we chatted maybe it was a month ago or something like that. Yeah. You were visiting all across Montana.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here, too.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
I really like Billings, by the way. I'm not saying this to be nice. I like it. It reminds me of my own hometown of Sherbrooke in Quebec. Same size city and same kind of vibe. I love it.
We have so much in common.
You bet.
You know, as nations. And I know that politically, that seems to be at a different level here. But I think when we kind of put that aside, we still want to just communicate and work one-on-one with everybody. So let's talk about your visits right away. As you visited, I think you were in Helena, you're in Billings here today. What do you take? What do you want to leave behind, and what do you take on those visits?
Well, the first thing I take is...
I'm going to have you pull this a little bit closer. Yeah, there
like
you
that?
Go.
Yeah,
thank
like
you.
The first thing I take, of course, is the fact that, as you just said, when you go face-to-face, when you go where the people are, and when you talk to them and we meet with them, you really see that the relationship is top-notch, right? Between Canadians and Americans, you know, people like each other. People know each other, and especially in a state like Montana, which is a border state, right? If you're way down in the south, your contacts with Canada are not as often. Although you probably are still doing a lot of trade with Canada, you just don't know. Montana, you share the longest land border between the two countries after Alaska. And that's quite meaningful. So that's the thing I get the most. When I came to Helena in March, I met with the leadership of both parties. I met with Governor Gianforte. We met with Brigida. We met with Chambers of Commerce, etc. The relationship is good. There are issues that, as usual, in any kind of relationship, if you want to compare it like President Trump did yesterday to a marriage, right? There's always a little bit of issue here, a little bit of issue there.
Yeah.
We've usually been able to work these out. And the relationship, the concept of friends, allies, partners, etc., is still very much alive.
You and Brigitte are going to be doing a fireside chat here during the conference at some point. So you probably have a few things already prepared for that. What are you, Brigitte, going to try and draw out from Sylvain?
Well, it's no secret for those of us at this conference here today, but maybe for some of your listeners that, you know, Canada is Montana's single largest trading partner many times over.
Many times over, yeah.
And they are so important to us. Every year we're exporting somewhere, I don't know, just shy of about $1 billion to Canada. We bring, since we're here in Billings, most of Montana's imports, the vast majority of Montana's imports, actually come in the form of crude oil from Canada that we are refining right here in Billings. So I really do want to give a little bit more context to that relationship as it has been. And then, of course, we're going to talk about that relationship as it is now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to whatever extent, you know, Sylvain can, with a new prime minister, like, where we think that's going. We've had some fundamental frameworks to help serve as a guide rail and foundation for our engagement, like the USMCA, which was last renegotiated under President Trump's administration, his prior administration. So we really just we want to see where we are now. We want to tell our friends from Canada that they are indeed very important to us, and we want to figure out how to move forward.
Where are we now?
Well, where we are now is, as you know, and you alluded to that, Tom, and Brigida too, at a time of a certain amount of uncertainty, Canada was also going through a time of political change. Mm-hmm. We had a political campaign, the result of which was the election of Prime Minister Carney with a new government. Right now, what's happening is the first thing to do is Mr. Carney will choose a cabinet, which unlike in the U.S., the cabinet must be chosen amongst elected members of parliament.
Oh, right? Okay.
So he's doing that now. And then we'll have, towards the end of the month, what we call the speech from the throne. It's kind of like a State of the Union thing, although it's a little bit more formal, because then it's discussed in parliament, in both the Senate and the House. Yeah. And that lays out, you know, the priorities and the plans of the government for this legislative session. Where we are bilaterally, yesterday Prime Minister Carney had an excellent meeting with President Trump, right? Where they kind of both agreed that we're strong. Well, the main message of Prime Minister Carney is that we're much better and stronger together, right? When we do things together for both of us, and they discussed, of course, the immediate trade pressures facing our nations, and they agree that. We have to work on modernizing, updating that economic and security relationship. And the Prime Minister certainly mentioned that Canada understands that, and we're ready to work with you guys. They'll meet again most likely at the G7 meeting in Alberta in June. We're going to go places. We're going to work this out.
The Honorable Sylvain Fabi with us, Consul General of Canada to the United States. Also Brigitte Miranda Freer here from the Montana World Trade Center. I found when I looked at Prime Minister Carney and his background, he's a financier.
Yeah.
And so I assume that him and President Trump probably shared some of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Has he given you an indication of how... we're talking about trade here, right?
Yes.
Is he measuring a response or waiting maybe for more input to react? Or what do you think his first moves are in response to what our president has done?
Well, Canada, as you know, replied with some retaliatory measures when the United States imposed its own measures. We have still made our message clear that we don't think these tariffs are justified. We are convinced that they're hurting. Well, we're convinced they're hurting us, but also not very good for the U.S. economy either. I think the reality is we have begun to talk about how to move forward on this. Our preference would be for the tariffs to be lifted, which of course would lift ours.
Well, it could happen tomorrow too. You know the way
it could.
Things have been going.
So right now there's a lot of conversations happening between between the PM and the president, but they also have happened at the ministerial or secretary level. We know there's always something to modernize. Our relationship is so deep, so wide, so complex. There's always room.
This doesn't bust it. I mean,
it's
very foundational.
It absolutely not.
It is.
And we're confident that, but also very hopeful that we're going to work this out again to the benefit of both nations, right? This is not,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just, this is a fundamental premise of trade. It needs to benefit both partners.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you saying that, Sylvain, and I just want to underscore the fact that I don't think that another country has to lose so that we can win. I think if that were the case, then no trade would have occurred throughout history.
And when you look at our bilateral trade, there's been a mention of a trade deficit for the U.S. with Canada.
Yes.
Listen, let's put this in perspective, right? The deficit is about $60 billion. $60 billion. Our trading relationship is amounting to about a trillion. So it's minimal, right? Super minimal, less than 1%. And if you put services in there, we have to remember our respective economies are now services-based.
Yes.
Right. 75% of GDP-ish comes from services, right? So when you add services and investment, well, actually, the U.S. has a pretty significant surplus with Canada. of which we don't care about that. Because if you have a surplus with us in services, for example, the likelihood it is probably because it's good for us. Right?
Right. Yeah.
If I can leave something behind in this conversation, is the U.S. is not disadvantaged in any way, shape, or form in its economic relationship or any aspect of its relationship with Canada. It's complementary. We complement each other and make all of us better, right? And if you add the third leg of the North American partnership, if you add Mexico to that, wow, we form what a lot of people consider, you know, the most significant, strongest trading bloc in the world, certainly on par and maybe more so than the EU. We're good together. Let's just keep going, right? And I haven't even touched on the defense relationship, Canada and the U.S. You know, we do the North American defense together, NORAD in Colorado. You have in Colorado Springs, you have the NORAD headquarters. I mean, and the work our law enforcement agencies do on security, crime, and the border. The work, it's unbelievable. My son works for the federal police, for the RCMP, and every day they work with their U.S. counterparts to fight, you know, crime and bad things. We do all these things so well. Let's just keep doing it. I don't want to sound like I'm over-optimistic, but I am optimistic.
Oh, I am too, you know, and I don't mind, though, evaluating, like we were just talking with the supply chain sharks, what is free and what is fair trade, you know, and that's fair to evaluate. People may have different ideas. Absolutely. Of what that is, but I still think it's good to go over that, and hopefully there's a strong relationship after that. I'm going to save some time for Paul Green, yeah. But I would love to chat with you again.
I'm always available to talk to you, Tom.
Yeah.
It's always great. You're a pertinent, balanced
goofball.
I was not going to say goofball.
Okay, I was going to finish that for you.
Yeah, but you know, I'll always be happy to chat with you and exchange ideas and opinions.
We have more to talk about.
So much.
Yeah, I think that's important. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, the Honorable again, Sylvain Fabi, Consul General of Canada. I'm getting used to saying that now. You know, a diplomat, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Just a lightning round. A couple of minutes left here. So Paul Green is joining us, former Commerce Department Director and now Director at Big Sky Economic Development. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing just great, Tom. Thank you so much.
Good to see you. In case you guys are wondering, it is a bright green jacket he's wearing today, but the appropriate shirt as well.
Beautiful paisley.
Right? Yeah. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for hosting this as well. I want to ask you guys the question. Brigitta, Miranda Freer, Montana Rural Trade Center, Paul Green, now Economic Development here at Big Sky. How can you guys work together? How do you guys work together to do the things that you want to accomplish?
You know what? I think that we've got a very small amount of resources in the state, and if we do not utilize them to the best of our ability, then we're just losing out of opportunities. Brigitta and I, she was actually my first international event coordinator when I went up to
Cranbrook. We went to Cranbrook.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And it was quite an experience. I appreciate the fact that she's so organized. She gets things together and puts me in the right places to be able to have good conversations with people. So now this is just going to be a different role with us. You know, I think that it allows me to get my hands a little dirty. What I say a little bit earlier, economic development karate. And, you know, so I think that there's lots of things that we can do. She's got great contacts, and I think that it's going to help Yellowstone County in a massive way.
Brigitta, talk about working with the local economic development organizations.
Well, I don't have a lot of time left in this segment, Tom, but I want to say first and foremost that it takes authentic partners to pull something like this off. This is a massive event that we'll have today. We've got something like 24 or 28 speakers throughout this day. We're bringing in people that are national level. We'll hear from our friends and neighbors that are engaged in doing business internationally. We couldn't do it alone. And so having Paul and Big Sky Economic Development be our partners on the ground here to engage the right people in this conversation, because we're just setting the table, right? And it's the people that come and engage and ask the questions and bring the information that makes this truly valuable. And a special shout out to Marcel, who I know is at Leadership Montana, but she was absolutely. I'll carry on. Yeah, she was fantastic in getting everything just totally dialed in. So thanks to you, Paul, and to your team.
Paul, are you settled in?
Settled in. You know, when you get a promotion like this, it takes on new challenges, but being able to be in my community, being able to participate and do some of the things that I always kind of wanted to do while I was out on the ranch has been just a true blessing.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Extremely happy.
And Brigitta, thank you for hosting and doing all of this. It's a huge event. We're going to hang around and learn a lot of stuff today ourselves. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, good stuff. Paul, you got news. Reach out to us, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
See you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.